From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, a chance of showers, otherwise mostly sunny and a high near 49 degrees. Tonight, patchy fog, 33 for a low. And tomorrow, some areas of fog and 43 degrees expected. It's currently 49 degrees. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly time to delve deep into topics around the COVID-19 pandemic. We're joined by County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
And we see that we all have survived Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, let's start out taking a look kind of at the county situation with COVID-19. I noticed in yesterday's update that there was a drop in cases in the past week.
Yes. So we have seen a drop in cases in this past week, and we are cautiously optimistic. On the one hand, this is about 2 weeks into this freeze, and we might be starting to see some good effects of that. On the other hand, testing in this last week was really very different from before. So on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, many of the clinics that normally would do testing are closed. We did our testing in the drive-thru on Friday, but only had 31 patients. And so the testing was decreased over the weekend, and it may be that fewer tests were done. On the other hand, we are hoping that this was some positive effect from the two-week freeze.
And I know that statewide, though, contrasting that a bit, we had, I think it was Saturday, was the record high for the pandemic, and yesterday was very high as well.
Yeah, but it was low on Friday, so it's a little hard to know again on these numbers. So I look at these numbers many times every day, and I think we're going to have to pause and think about those numbers from last Monday to this Monday. Starting today, we should be back to our routine testing. So we'll see what happens. It would certainly be great if the numbers were down. That would be as predicted. So with the freeze, you expect to see a decrease in cases, two or three typical incubation periods. So that would be about 12 to 18 days, which is just where we're at now.
And let's talk about the county cases. Where are some of these cases? What types of things that can you connect the dots that have resulted in these cases around the county in the past week?
So we're seeing lots of onesie twosies that are a little hard to tell. We clearly know that there are some from travel. So one family traveled to Florida, came back and had it. We clearly know that there are some small gatherings and some businesses that have had small outbreaks. But in November, and really only in November and for the first time, we've seen some very large super spreader events. So one was a Halloween party at the coast. Another is a church. Another is a church dinner. And then there are two very large outbreaks at nursing homes.
And obviously at nursing homes, you have an older population that are more vulnerable to this situation, and that can move very quickly through those facilities.
Well, those facilities are problematic in several ways. First is the people tend to be older and sicker, which put them at higher risk. And second, they're living in congregate settings where staff is coming in from the outside and going to multiple rooms. And so it spreads very quickly among a very difficult population.
So let's take a look at the state. Now, while the number of county cases were down in the past week, what about the state?
Well, the state is about stable over the last week. And again, it's so hard to know about that with testing. The number that I'm looking at most carefully is hospitalizations, because hospitalizations are clearly somebody who are pretty sick, and the number of hospitalizations are not markedly changed because of the holidays. By that measure, the last several days have been the highest days in the state, and thus I worry that we're still in the midst of a surge.
And in Oregon, the numbers from, I was gone for a few days, but looking at the numbers, I know Multnomah County had days with 600 plus, 700 plus cases. It's amazing they can even process all that.
and they probably can't. You know, when you get that many cases, it's so hard to get all the case investigations and all the contact tracing done on time. Our staff has been working late every night to try and get these things done and in. And so it is really taxing.
Nationally, are there particular hot spots or areas of concern with COVID-19?
Nationally, it's pretty much the whole country. And again, Oregon, although we're seeing like, oh my goodness, well, this is horrible, Oregon is still one of the better states. So when you look at this heat map that has different colors for different areas in the country, it ranges from white, no cases at all, through really a deep purple, which means that there's over 250 cases per 100,000 people per day. So that would be us having about 280 cases in a single day. And so much of the country, especially the middle part of the country, is in this dark red or purple color, including Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Texas, and interestingly, Rhode Island. Oregon is pretty much in the light yellows and oranges, and Douglas County is in the lightest of yellow with about 16 cases per 100,000 per day. But remember, we've looked at other similar counties like Twin Falls County, 70 per 100,000 per day, Pennington County in South Dakota, 105 per 100,000 per day, and then in Lowndes County in Georgia, which is 36 per 100,000 per day. So although we feel like it's overwhelming, we're still relatively less affected than many other areas in the country.
Are those other three places you mentioned, are there differences there in terms of how the situation is being managed?
Yes. So those other areas are similar to us in population, in county population size. They're similar to us in terms of the median income. They're similar to us in that they're all on a freeway. They're similar to us in that they have they're mostly conservative leaning, but South Dakota, Idaho, and Georgia are three states that have taken a much more hands-off approach to COVID. For example, not doing masking requirements, not doing much to change the course of the disease. And you can see they're having a lot more disease.
Worldwide COVID-19, talk about hotspots.
So worldwide, this is still really a very active pandemic. We're having nearly a record number of cases all the time. Most active in the U.S., but it's also active in India, Turkey, Russia, Brazil, and Italy. In India and Italy, it's going down. In Turkey, Russia, and Brazil, it's going up. And in Turkey, it's going up very, very, very quickly. We worry about these areas because these are all areas that have taken kind of hands-off approaches to COVID. Italy has taken a more stringent approach. They've brought their case rates down. France and Germany, they've also brought their case rates down. But Turkey, Brazil, and Russia have basically let this go, and they're seeing a huge number of cases. And we're worried about places that have a huge number of cases because we think the vaccine is really right on the horizon and could really spell the end of this pandemic.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us on Inside Douglas County. Just got the update a moment ago with the county numbers and 33 new cases and one presumptive being reported today. Not a new record, but pretty close.
Unfortunately, it is. Most of those cases are related to one of the nursing home outbreaks. And so those were somebody from our staff drove them up to the state on Saturday. They were processed yesterday. We got those results last night, and they make up about half of those new cases.
And right now, 193 people in isolation, 423 in quarantine, 616 total between those two categories. That's a lot of folks for DPHN, the Douglas Public Health Network, to be involved with.
That is a lot of people. We have a staff of over 30 now who are working, calling those people, doing the case investigations, trying to get the contacts, and then delivering things that people need so that they can safely be in quarantine. So on Thanksgiving, I got to do the deliveries and delivered food to somebody who needed to be living in a hotel because they couldn't live in their typical housing, and delivered groceries to another family who needed those groceries so they could safely quarantine.
Now, some people have easier resources in terms of maybe friends who will drop things off, or even some of the stores where delivery might be possible. So is it a low percentage of people where you actually end up delivering things?
Well, it seems high, although in the total numbers, it's relatively low. Again, most people can do okay with quarantine, although we know that food insecurity is rife in our community. And so there are probably a lot of families that don't have 2 weeks of groceries on the shelf, and they're the ones who especially struggle with needing to be 2 weeks in quarantine.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us back after a two-minute break. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. We announced the new numbers for today, 33 new cases of positive test results, one presumptive case of COVID-19 in the county. I'm curious, with the turnaround time, are any of the numbers we're seeing today, would that relate to Thanksgiving at all, or is that too early?
So it's too early. So again, most of the people who are exposed to this disease get symptoms on the fifth or sixth day. So the earliest we would expect to see it is the middle of this week. But again, typically what happens is it's the second or third generation, which is 5 to 15 days after the event, where you start to see the big increase. So if you look at our big increase, it really started about 10 days, right in the middle there, after Halloween. We think Halloween was a big driver for these cases. So we're going to see a big increase in cases from Thanksgiving. We'd expected to see it in the first 15 days of December.
Going into the holiday season, everything is so different. We even had that virtual Christmas tree lighting downtown on Sunday night. What are some of your concerns about getting through the holiday season? A lot of people are kind of, you know, mentally had it, want to have some normalcy, and there's so many things in the holidays that are like the bright spots of the year that I think for a lot of people it's hard to think about doing those differently or not doing them.
I think it's really hard to think about putting those things off for people. I mean, we look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas all year. And so to have a very different Christmas or a very different Thanksgiving is going to be hard for many. But the good news is that it also looks this week like we may get one or two vaccines approved. And those vaccines, with their really high degree of efficacy, could really help us get this under control by next summer. That means 6 more months of lots of hard work to keep it under control.
Where are we at right now in terms of hospital capacity around Oregon with the COVID-19 cases?
So overall in Oregon, we have a little over 500 people hospitalized. Oregon is one of the states that does not have lots of extra hospital beds, which in usual times means it's a very efficient system. But unfortunately, very efficient systems during times of crisis get strained a little bit earlier. We still have a fair amount of ICU room left, although 2 weeks ago we were down to as little as four open beds in the Portland area. That would be really scary. Mercy locally is doing well. Again, although we think this is a lot of cases for us, it's not a lot in comparison to other places in the state and other places in the country. So Mercy is able to do well. They're still able to do many other services well. We typically have had between 15 and 20 people in the hospital each day, about roughly a third on the medical floor, a third in the progressive care unit, and a third in the ICU, which uses up about a third of their capacity, which means that they still have other capacity for other people to get sick with other things. Concern, however, is that, people have heard me say this, is gatherings are followed by cases are followed by hospitalizations, and hospitalizations are followed by deaths. And so we would not be shocked to see real strains on the hospital between now and the end of the calendar year.
Recently, the Oregon Health Authority announced that they would change the way that the numbers come out to reflect folks who have had more than one negative test result, and that could change the test positivity rate. Any idea when that is going to go into effect?
Well, actually, that started last Monday. So the OHA published the revised positivity rates in the school metrics of last Monday. So our rate went down from the high low digits to around 6%. So we went down and others will go down. It's sort of a confusing thing. There's lots of different ways to measure positivity, and the CDC and the states have not agreed on a single way to do it. So that's why it's a little confusing out there. Oregon picked what I think was the proper way to do it back in March, but now since many people have had multiple positive tests, it was not looking right. So we don't have the positivity rates out from last week. They may also be skewed by people, lots of people wanting negative testing before they traveled. But again, for the last 3 weeks that they were measured, we were 2.5%, 5.6%, and 6%, which for us seems high because we were under 1% for so many months. But still under 10% is okay. We'd really like to drive it down to the 3 or 4% range.
With the rate going down then under the new way it's being put together, is there a potential impact at some point there on education and the ability to have in-person learning potential?
Yeah, so learning, so educational stuff is based both on the case rate and the positivity. Our case rate last week was about 300 cases per 100,000 over a two-week period. Of course, that compares to 3 per 100,000 that we had in the beginning of September. So the number is 100 times more than we had back in the spring or in the late fall. So I really worry that our case numbers are so high. And again, we don't think there's a lot of spread at school. In fact, in all of our school outbreaks, we've not seen a lot of spread. But the problem is when there is a case at school, all those people need to be quarantined. So at one point, we had hundreds of kids and hundreds of families in quarantine and isolation because of their exposure to school outbreaks. That number has gone down since most of the places are in distance learning. But again, that's the risk when you open schools when there's such a high rate of disease, is that the classes are on again, off again. So we had a student who was in a grade. They were out for 2 weeks because there was somebody else in the class who was sick, and there was no spread in the class. She's back in school for 2 days, and then there was a case in her family. So she's out again for another 2 weeks, and all those students were again out for 2 weeks. So really a month of interrupted school for those kids because of other disease in the community rather than spread in the school. And that's why we need to bring our case rate back down to the under 100 per 100,000 so that we can open schools and keep them open.
And all these folks in quarantine sometimes has also had the impact on the school districts. One of them last week mentioned that being an issue because some people that are quarantining may feel just fine. For instance, teachers, other school staff can still do their jobs from home if the students are home as well. And that seems to have helped districts that were, you know, running out of people to teach or assist teachers.
Right. And that's the big issue, is that the distance learning is hard, especially for these kids in K through 3. I mean, that's the age where kids really need to be in class learning how to read. Maybe as we get older, we can do things online, we can do things with Zoom, but especially those kids in the K-3 group, we really want to get them back in school.
Looking at COVID-19, what are we currently seeing overall in terms of what age groups are most likely to be impacted by the virus?
Well, we see the disease in everyone, from kids from 1 to 100, we've seen it. And so the disease at all age groups. Kids don't get very sick with this. In fact, we don't think we've had anybody less than 30 who's been sick enough to be hospitalized. Between people in their 30s to their 60s, we begin to see some hospitalizations, especially if these are people who have underlying conditions. But then once we get to the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we see a lot of hospitalizations, and these people get really sick.
And in about a half an hour, the governor will be having a press availability. We'll find out if we are still listed as an extreme category, extreme risk county for COVID-19. And we'll get that information up this afternoon. A representative of the governor's office told me over the weekend they were going to take a fresh look at the data, and then the final result will come out here in the next hour.
Yeah, well, we sort of know what the numbers are going to be, and our case rate is going to be pretty high over the last 2 weeks. So I think we are in one of the high-risk groups.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer taking an in-depth look at COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.